Good morning, church. In Matthew 13:44, Jesus recorded for us, and he was trying to describe what is it like to find the kingdom of God. So he said, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. So a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Found it, covered up. And then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Moral of the story is not to be kiasu, alright? Moral of the story is, in his joy, he will let go of everything because he saw the preciousness of that treasure. Remember the joy you have and I have when we first came to know the Lord. Such joy, you can't describe it. This is the kind of joy I think God wants us to pursue. Jesus said, this thing I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. But that word full doesn't connote a little bit, half, three quarter, but it's full. Full to the brim, full till overflow. Last Sunday, you guys prayed for my friend Brenda, you remember? Okay, 2% prayed, okay. Saturday morning, she wrote on the blog, and let me read for you. She said, last night, referring to, I think, Friday night, I asked Kelder, which is a boy, to help me keep the laundry, and then she got busy selecting clothing for ironing. Brenda was surprised that the son not only kept his own clothing, but he went on to keep the father's clothing. Now, if you have come across any autistic child, like the kind that Brenda has, you know to fold a clothing is pretty difficult. All right. So he went on not to just fold his clothing, but to keep his father's clothing. This time round, he just not just only keep it, he fold it and tuck it away. Then she texted this to me. See, Claudia is improving significantly, Hock Chai. How can he not be when more than thousands brothers and sisters prayed for him last Sunday? Let's give God praise. Hey, you pray, right? You better believe in your prayer. I can imagine Brenda's joy index double, triple. Jesus said, this thing I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. May be full. Someone asked me, are you going to ask us to read chapter 3 and 4 again? I can sense the excitement. Yes, we are! Because it's good to read the Word of God. I can imagine when the letter from Paul reached Philippi. The church of Philippi gathered together. They don't look at their watch because they are eager to hear the word from their mentor, their leader, their apostle. At that time, there's no Bible, right? So this is probably one of the rare few documents from the apostle. So they gather together to want to hear. I'm sure they read from chapter 1 to chapter 2, 3 and 4 and backwards and forwards. And they want to know what Paul has to say. So church, are you ready to read chapter 4, 3 and 4? Thank you. A few of you. The rest I can hear from your heart. You are eager to read. So in the same format, the left column will start first, followed by the right column. Okay, at a count of three. 1, 2, 3, go.
Thank you.
together. But whatever were gained to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to hope, which is Christ Jesus took hold of me. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. Together, not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more to be credited into your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied. Amen. Amen. Give yourself a clap. That's a good job. You can now check off. I have finished reading Book of Philippians. And you can tell SP as you move towards finishing reading the Bible. Father, this morning as we gather, may your grace be with us. May you continue to meet all our needs according to your riches of your glory in Christ Jesus. Lord, we come humbly, knowing that if you don't speak, Lord, then we gather in vain. Open our hearts and ears and eyes, because your word, your written word for us, for our living, must come and tutor us so that we know how to live our life. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Let me recap. Last week, we talked about Paul's journey, his second missionary trip. And if you can follow the orange arrow, Paul and Silas started from Antioch. He went to Tarsus, Derbe, Lystra. And Paul's desire is to always bring the gospel into Asia, northwards. The scripture we read last week tells us that the Holy Spirit prevented them twice to go to north, to go northwards. Hence, they retreat to Troas, where they have a vision at night. A man from Macedonia came and appealed to Paul in his dream to come over to that place to help. Paul discerned that this is the will of God for him, set sail across the sea to Neapolis and then by foot to Philippi. They rested. On the Sabbath, the team went out to look for a place of worship. There, they saw a group of ladies praying. There's something about the ladies, they prayed. Men, we need to catch up. So they saw a group of ladies praying, and one of them is a lady by the name of Lydia. She's a businesswoman. Paul reached out to her, explained the gospel to her. She came to know the Lord. She and her household, and invited Paul to stay with them. Another person who came to know the Lord was a slave girl who was demon-possessed. He came to know the Lord. Now, the business owner of the slave girl was not happy and created trouble for Paul and Silas, and two of them were thrown into jail. At night, instead of complaining, the two of them have a prayer and praise worship time. Earthquake happened. The door was thrown open. Instead of running out, they stayed. Jailer freaked out. I thought people run away, want to commit suicide. Paul stopped him, and the gospel came to his heart and his household. There you go. The first, almost, a group of believers, through Paul's effort, missionary effort, started the church in Philippi. Paul wrote the letter all the way from Rome to this church that is very dear to his heart. We mentioned last week, there's a couple of reasons why Paul writes the letter of Philippians. Among all the reasons, this stood out very strong, the concept of a biblical joy. We notice at least 19 times in these four chapters that the word joy, rejoicing, gladness appear in the book and tell us something. And if you go to the root word, all the root word belongs to the same family, bring the same meaning of joy. We also notice another word that appeared a lot of times in the letter to Philippians. This is the word my. 10 times, think 5 times, remember 1 time. Total, you put all this together, there's 16 times references related to your mind. What is Paul trying to say? The secret of Christian joy is found in the way you and I think. Our perspective in life. Joyce Meyer has this to say. Your joy comes from how you think. The choice that we make in life. So there is a direct relationship between how you think and the level of joy in your life. How true. what Joyce Meyer said. Your joy comes from how you think and the choices that we make in life. How true and also how sad. For some who choose to dwell with the negatives and hence resulting in less than a joyful life. The question we have to ask ourselves, has our joy been stolen? Has our joy been stolen? Last week we also talked about myths of joy. I'm sure there's many myths. We just covered five. First myth is true joy is dependent on my personal situation. We found out that true joy need not depend on our personal current situation. Just like Paul, in chain, and yet he chose to be joyful. We also found out that in order to find joy, I must only look out for my own interests. We also discovered that this need not be the case. We can still have joy and find joy when we consider each other's concern and needs in our life. Joy is an emotional or feeling that I have no control over. This again, Paul demonstrates for us, this is not so true. You can choose, deliberately decide to pursue joy. My lack of joy affects only me. It's not true. Your lack of joy will affect you, but it also will affect the people around you. The world will be affected if we believers go around living a joyless life wherever we go. The world is watching us. That reminds me of a story. A kindergarten teacher asked the class to do a drawing, something they liked. And after a while, she went around looking at what the kids are drawing. And she came to this little girl who was working diligently, intently on her piece. She asked her, "What are you drawing?" The girl replied, "I'm drawing God." The teacher was puzzled and said, "But no one knows how does God look like." Without missing a beat, without looking up, the girl said, "They will in a minute. They will in a minute." I don't think you have woken up this morning yet. The world will see our God through our lives we live. Whether it's a joyful life or a joyless life. Do we live a life full of hope because of a Savior we call God, we call Master? The world will tell. The joyful life we live in this stressed out world will give the world a hope to draw near to Jesus. We also mentioned there's a myth that joy is incompatible with sorrow. Joy is incompatible with sorrow. We said this may not be true because we said the opposite of joy is not suffering, sorrow, or hardship. We mentioned the opposite of joy is despair in life. We believers do not need to be despair because we have hope in our life. Paul always said this in chapter 1, verse 6. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. This is an excellent book for some of you who want to go bring this deeper. Warren Wiersbe, Be Joyful book. This is one of the earliest few books that I read when I came to know the Lord. And it set my road, this journey to be a joyful Christian. I also borrowed some ideas from this book. In Philippians, Paul highlighted four T's that will steal your joy in your life. Someone said, you never invite a thief into your house. Am I correct? How many of you invite thieves into your house? Good. So why would you allow thoughts that steal your joy to make themselves at home in your mind? Why? Why would you allow thoughts that steal your joy to make themselves at home in your mind. The first joy stealer is circumstances. Circumstances. Paul was not in a favorable situation. He said he is in chain. And we read that a couple of times in that one book. He's in chain. This is not a position any of us would like. Paul, I don't think Paul chose to be in chain. But circumstances happen. He's in chain. He's not in a favorable situation. He wanted to go to Rome as a preacher, but he landed as a prisoner. He is chained to a guard 24/7. Every moment, everywhere he goes, a guard will follow him, even to the toilets. Some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry. He was told, people are preaching near him in Rome, out of envy or rivalry, to create trouble for Paul. He was in need and hungry. Chapter 4, he mentioned about it. But this is what Paul said in verse 12 of chapter 1. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. Listen to that, okay? What has actually happened to me in chain has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard that everyone else that I'm in chains for Christ. Why is it important that Paul highlighted this point? Because he's writing to Philippians, staying in Philippi. Because this is a Roman colony, most of the retired soldiers were sent there to retire. So people who come to know the Lord is interested to know, when will the gospel reach Rome? Here Paul tells them, because of my chains, the whole palace guard get to know that I'm in the prison, in the chain for Jesus Christ. Verse 14, he said, because of my chains, most of my brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. Because of his chain, believers in Rome become more bold to share the gospel. Verse 17, the former preached Christ out of selfish ambition, referring to one group, not sincerely, supposingly they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The more important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is being preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Because of the message, the gospel that goes out, I rejoice. And yes, I will continue to rejoice even though Paul is in chain. Verse 17 of chapter 4, Paul said, not that I desire your gifts. In fact, Paul talked about that he's contented, whether in need or in plenty. Then he said, not that I desire your gift. What I desire is more to be credited into your account. Paul chose to see his imprisonment as a stepping stone for a few things. Advancement of the gospel, increase in bonus for others to share the gospel. The end result is Christ is being preached to more people. And Philippians can credit into their heavenly account by meeting Paul's needs. How can Paul do that? Because he was single-minded about his purpose in life. Even in chain, Paul can write to the Philippians and say, for to me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. The real reason many of us are upset by the circumstances is because we do not cultivate the single-mindedness. There's a proverb who says, when the pilot does not know which port is heading for, no wind is the right wind. Anything that comes out on the pilot dashboard is going to distract them from landing the plane. To overcome circumstances as a joy stealer, We need a single mind. We need a single mind. In 1999, 2 years after our marriage, my wife and me decided to obey the command to be fruitful and multiply. Then there was no alpha course, so I didn't know we can get success in baby making through alpha course. So we tried, and thank God, my wife is pregnant. And I remember very clearly we were painting a house in Jurong. And then my wife developed a very acute stomach pain. We thought it's food poisoning. We thought it's one of those episodes that after some rest, it will go away. But it didn't. We consult the doctor. The doctor noticed that my wife is pregnant. Gave us a shocked look that we need to quickly see a doctor. In fact, if we can, go to the hospital. We thought he must be joking. So we went back and continued painting. At night, we consult another relatives and think that this is serious enough. We went to the hospital, KK, and after talking to the doctor, she did some scan and realized there's bleeding in my wife's body. And they discovered that the right fallopian tube is bleeding. What is a fallopian tube? Fallopian tube connects the ovary to the womb. Every ladies have two. Men, sorry, we don't have. Right? If you have, you must see a doctor. So the right fallopian tube is bleeding, meaning it's bleeding. Yeah? The doctor, of course, suspect that the fetus is growing in the fallopian tube. And because it's growing and the fallopian tube is small, it bursts the tube. And that's why there's bleeding. So we have to make the decision to remove the baby, the fetus, in order to protect, to stop the bleeding and protect the life of my wife. It was devastating for a young married couple. And we don't know, we're trying to make sense. I don't even know what is ectopic pregnancy. Huh? Now I know. At that time, I don't have Google, so I have to go back and check the dictionary. Ectopic pregnancy. So the doctor consoled us, updated the operation, removed. The doctor said, he can join back the tube, but he cannot do anything to the tube. But he noticed the left tube is okay. We'll set, we process it. But God just allow us to have that peace and the strength to move on. We took 10 months to overcome that grief, trusting God. Don't know why that happened to us. And then we decided to gather enough courage to trust God to try for a baby. And my wife is pregnant again. And then because she's on a high-risk pregnancy, now I was told that 1 in 1,000 ladies will have a chance to encounter this ectopic pregnancy. And so she's high-risk. She had once before. So the gynae tell us, once you are pregnant, you must come to the hospital. And this pregnancy brings us to the hospital like nobody else. Every week we have to go down there and my wife had to donate blood to KK, right? For them to investigate, to track a hormone called beta-HCG, alright? This morning, I just have a revelation. Why are they tracking this beta-HCG? Because HCG actually is my initial, Hok Chai Go. So the Lord is patient enough. After 20 years, then I realized they are tracking my letter Hok Chai Go. Right? So they are tracking that, which is true. Actually, it's true. There's no joke. Beta HCG. If you are pregnant and the baby is growing well, that hormone will double after a certain time. So they're tracking. After the first few weeks, it's okay. The chart looks good. And suddenly we see that the chart begin to taper. Trouble. Doctor call us in. When the doctor call you, like, when there's no appointment, it's very scary. So we went to see a doctor. The doctor scanned and said, it's bleeding again. And then investigate and tell us, after a long pause, the gynae tell us, the bleeding now happened on the left tube. So 10 months ago, it was on the right tube. 10 months after, it's on the left tube. It just dashed our hope of having our own biological children. We were doubly devastated, if there's such a word. Very sad. Wrestling with the Lord, but yet in our heart, both of us believe in this loving God. And what ring through our mind was, how can a loving God allow us to go through this? Not just once, but twice. Without having a greater purpose. So surely there's a greater purpose. At that point of time, we don't understand. So we hang on to God's promises and pray for God's peace and His love and His strength to move on. We bid farewell, of course, to their fetus, and then they did the operation, and then after some time, again, we gather enough courage. And in the process, we asked a couple of specialists, and they said, you'll be crazy enough to try again. Alright? So they say, you better seek for some aided fertility treatment, IVF or whatever. Alright? But the Lord again led us through this journey to trust Him again. We fasted. You know, for me to fast is quite a miracle, looking at my size. Huh? So we fasted. And we trust God for our own biological kid. And we tried. And my wife is pregnant again. And for some reason, in year late 2000, my little Dorothy managed to just jump through that damaged fallopian tube and reach the womb. And in 2001, many of you journey with us, Dorothy was born, and now she's 16 years old. Alright. 2 years later, my little Tiffany, again, for some reason, jumped through the damaged tube, reached the womb, and now she's 14 years old. When the doctor said they cannot repair the tube, all they can do is to join the tube. Because they can do nothing within the lining, right? God did that healing work unknown to us. To heal the fallopian tube. And that's why two of my girls come about. And then the Lord added to us another third girl some years later. So now I'm the proud father of three girls and I'm the head of the women's ministry at home. Thanks be to God. Do not allow our circumstances to rob us the joy that we can have in our Lord. In our Lord. The second joy stealer is people. People. I'm not talking about the people that add joy into your life. Those, if you find, you must grab them and treasure them. Love them to death. I'm talking about the people that suck the joy out of your life. Do you have any in your life? Don't raise your hands. I know you have. I have one. In my office. Whenever the staff come to my office, my joy just dissipated. Okay? It will come with problems, things I should have done, I've not done. And whenever, so much so when she comes, okay, I give away, she's a she. When she comes, my response will be, what trouble you have for me today? There are people in our life that suck the joy you have out of your life. These are the people we said we need to manage. I love mankind. It is people that I cannot stand. It is people that I cannot stand. Paul knew, at least there's this issue in the church. The two ladies who cannot see eye to eye on some issue that Paul did not mention. Paul highlighted their name in Philippians. Paul did not want to embarrass them for sure, but I wanted them to work on the issue. Take a stand for yourself and refuse to let people steal your joy today. Make a stand. See what Paul had to say in these four verses in a message version. If you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if His love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. Paul said, do me a favor. Agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet talk all your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. What a wonderful idea. Put yourself aside. Help others to go ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourself long enough to lend a helping hand. Paul gave four wonderful examples. Three in the second chapter, one himself, for us to emulate. He said Jesus. He quoted Jesus as the first example. He said Jesus in chapter 2, verse 5 to 6. He said Jesus is a person who thinks for others. He served others, verse 7. He sacrificed for others, verse 8. Eventually, he glorifies God. Paul said Jesus is selfless. Love your people like Jesus. Be selfless. Next example Paul gave is Timothy. Timothy, to Paul, has a servant mind, servant training, and a servant reward. You can see this in chapter 2, verse 19, all the way to 24. Timothy serves. Love your people like Timothy. Be a servant to them. Next person is Epaphroditus. Paul says his guy is a balanced Christian. He's a burdened Christian. And he's a blessed one. He uses three words to describe him. He's a brother. He's a worker. He's a soldier. He's a brother. He's a worker. He's a soldier. Love your people like Epaphroditus. Be a model for them. Be a model for them. Paul then used himself. In chapter 1, earlier verses, he told the Philippians, he has them in his mind, his heart, and prayer. Love your people like Paul. Embrace and love them. Embrace and love them. To overcome people, difficult people, as a joy stealer, you have to have a submissive mind. Paul said this in chapter 2, verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Above yourself. The third joy stealer are things. Bible reminded us in Luke 12. Then he said to them, Jesus said to the people, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions, things, stuff. Because those possessions, things, and stuff many times will starve the joy out of your life. Paul said this in Philippians 3, that he had no confidence in all these things, in what he has achieved. He said even though he circumcised on the eighth day, he belongs to the people of Israel, he belongs to the tribe of Benjamin, he is a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, Paul says he is among the best Pharisee. As to the zeal, he is the one who persecuted the church. As to righteousness under the law, Paul claimed that he is blameless. In short, Paul is very, very, very good. But yet in scripture, Paul says, I count that as rubbish. Rubbish. Paul pointed out that most people focus on earthly things, possession and recognition. But we need to look at things from God's perspective. We need to have a spiritual mind. Paul cited three keywords for us to consider. He said, we need to count like an accountant. We need to press forward like an athlete, we need to look beyond the current as an alien. He said this in the scripture. I dump it all in the trash so that I could embrace Christ and be embraced by Him. I did not want some petty inferior brand of righteousness that comes from keeping a list of rules when I could get the robust kind that comes from trusting Christ. God's righteousness. I gave up all the inferior stuff so I could know God, Christ personally, experience His resurrection power, be a partner in His suffering, and go all the way with Him to death itself. If there was no any way to get in on the resurrection from the dead, I wanted to do it. Verse 20, but there's far more to life for us. We are citizens of high heaven. We are waiting the arrival of the Savior, the Master, Jesus Christ, who will transform our earthly bodies into glorious bodies, like His own. He makes us beautiful and the whole with the same powerful skill by which He is putting everything as it should be under and around Him. To overcome things as a joy stealer, we need to have a spiritual mind. We need to have spiritual mind because our citizenship is in heaven and is not here. Try giving your things away and discover for yourself how much joy it can bring in return. The final joy stealer that I think Paul is trying to communicate is the area of worry. Worry. Against the backdrop of his own imprisonment, troubles that created by some people for him, believers not agreeing in the Lord, wrong doctrine being taught to the church, Paul has every reason to be worried. Every reason to be worried. Instead, he told the church in Philippi, do not be anxious about anything. Nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Paul said, don't be worried about anything. If you worry, give it to God. And trust God that He will take care of it. And thank Him that He has already taken care of it. Verse 7 then says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind. The peace of God will come beyond your understanding to guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. And if you worry again, do the same. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your worry, let your prayer request be made known to God, and the peace of God will come again. In between, verse 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, if you are not worrying, focus on others. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned, received, and hear and seen in me, practice this thing, and the God of peace will be with you. Worry is actually wrong thinking and wrong feeling about circumstances, people, and things. If we have a single mind, submissive mind, and a spiritual mind, then we should not have much to trouble with worry. All we need is something to guard the heart and mind so that the worry will not enter. And Paul described this as a secure mind. Secure mind. Paul says we can have a secure mind by highlighting four key resources each of us have in God. One is God of peace. In verse 8, he says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such thing. Whatever you have learned and received and hear from me or seen in me, put into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. The first resources Paul wants to highlight is God of peace will guide your life. God of peace will guide your life. Philippians 4:7 says, the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The second provision is peace of God will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. God of peace will guide your life. Peace of God will guard your heart and mind. And the third thing, Philippians 4:13, I can do all this through Him who strengthens me. The third provision is the power of God. The power of God will strengthen you to do what He wants you to do. And finally, Philippians 4:19, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus. We have the provision of God. Provision of God will supply to your every need. So we have God of peace, you have peace of God, you have power of God, you have provision of God. To overcome worry as a joy stealer, we need to have a secure mind. So in the book, Paul described four attributes of mind that will produce a certain kind of biblical joy in spite of circumstances, in spite of difficult people, in spite of things that bothers you, or things you think will bring you joy and worry. This, the fall out of single mind, submissive mind, spiritual mind, and a secure mind. This morning, I have a privilege of inviting another sister to come to share with us her journey in this area of overcoming a worry. Would you put your hands together to welcome? Good morning, Singi. Church, let's give Singi a hand. She's so excited, and she took the trouble to fly in from Penang two nights ago to just join us, specifically for these three services.
Yes.
Thank you for coming. Yeah. Singi, you have a medical condition that affected your eyes badly. You want to share with us?
Sure. When I was 15 years old, I was diagnosed with Stevens-Johnson syndrome. It's a disease due to severe allergy to antibiotics. And my body was responded to the antibiotics. And my whole body, my skin burned. And there was this ulcer in the entire of my whole mouth. The worst part is the permanent damage to both of my eyes. Because since then, my eye couldn't shed tears anymore. My tear ducts block. And it has also caused scarring on cornea of both of my eyes. And because of that, it has affected my vision badly. So I was hospitalized for a month. And after that, when I went back to school, I need to join the special needs program, which is catered for the blind and low vision students.
So let me get it correctly. This condition stopped the tears from flowing to your eyes. Something like this.
In a way. Tear duct was damaged. Yeah,
block. And then your eye will be dry all the time?
Yes.
And then you have to put artificial tear?
Yeah, to keep the eye moist.
Wow. That must be quite troublesome, I can imagine.
Yeah, troublesome, but the worst thing is I couldn't see clearly anymore. And over the years, my vision was deteriorating. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And tell us what happened after that.
After that, at 25, there was the day when I found that my right eye was in great pain. And my Penang doctor has found that my cornea has proliferated, and make arrangement for immediate treatment at Singapore National Eye Centre. My mum and I was worried, especially my mum being a single parent, because my dad has passed away when I was three. We have no idea, no one to consult, but we follow the advice of my doctor.
That's a good thing, follows the doctor's advice.
Yeah, then we came, And that was the year in 2005 I went for the first cornea transplant at Eye Center. Since then, I had undergone 10 surgeries, at least 4 cornea transplant and a stem cell transplant, from the year of 2005 to 2014.
Mm. So before you come to Singapore, you were still a non-Christian?
Yeah, I was a non-Christian. I was a Taoist.
Okay, so your condition brought you to Singapore?
Yeah, brought me to Singapore. And I still remember when I when doctor told me after a year, that means in 2006, that I might need to go for the third surgery within a year. I was so disappointed and I was so depressed. So at that night, that was the first time I talked to Jesus. I was so frustrated with my condition. So I kind of like challenging him. If you know, you are so unfair. Actually, I was like scolding Jesus.
Wow.
Yeah, because
you are the refuge that dared to scold Jesus.
Because I was very honest to Jesus. I said, I can see that you have blessed, you know, so many Christians that appear in my life. But if you say you are the creator of everyone, then how about me? But how come you left me out? You know, things like that. I just complain, scold, sad, cry. After that, I went to sleep.
And you have a good sleep.
Yeah, that went on for about a week. Every night, complaints go, and then I asked him, you know, when you want to come out and show me your face and things like that. Yeah, after that, I went back to the hospital, and the doctor said that, so sorry, you have to go for the surgery. But that time, I remember that it was a special review, because usually, at that time, like when I was there alone, I will feel very sad and of course nervous, because to go for the op again. But it was very strange that I was so calm, and at that time I didn't know that actually it's peace of God.
Yeah. So you experienced the peace of God?
Yeah.
Okay. And then what happened during the review?
During the review?
You know, they tell you that they're going to waive the fee or something?
Oh, yeah. Then after that I told the doctor, okay, you can arrange for the date for the third surgery.
Yes.
But the thing is, I cannot come down, you know, so frequent, like almost every month to just for the treatment.
Yes.
And then God just opened the door that, you know, my daughter said, yeah, you can apply, there's a, you know, something that they can help and look into it.
Mm.
And I didn't put much hope because I was so, I mean, I concerned about my eye. But God just, He's just so good, and He just opened the door and they actually waived the cost of my third surgery.
Wow, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
You're the first person that I hear complain into the kingdom of God. You know? And I'm so glad that, you know, you receive God into your life and then and just enjoy His provision.
Yeah.
Members have His privileges. Yeah. And tell us what happened after that.
After that, then I, because I experienced His peace, and I gave my life to Jesus on that same month as well. But over the years, even though I've underwent so many surgeries, but my cornea was stable at times, but my vision was worsened, over the years. And the doctor in 2014, they suggested me to go for another procedure, which is called OOKP, or the tooth in eye surgery.
Well, let me explain to the crowd what is OOKP. Well, if you see, OOKP is basically taking a tooth, implant into the eye, and drill a hole so that lights can go through the eye and help Singhi to see. So this is commonly known as OOKP, which is tooth in eye procedure.
When he told me about this, I was, because this surgery is never my option or my desire to go for this. Because over the years, even though my vision has worsened, but I know God can heal, and I've seen before. So it's like I keep on waiting with the hope that, with the way that I want, that I hope that God will heal me supernaturally. Yeah, but I commit all my thoughts and anxiety because I told God that I was concerned that this surgery, that it will change my eye structure, and also it will change my appearance permanently. But I submit to God, and in the end, I went for the op.
Yeah. Mm. And how is your eyesight now?
Very good. It was a successful surgery.
Good.
Yeah.
So close to 6-6?
Yes.
Okay. Would you like to read for us the verse on this wall? You can clap later when she reads the verses.
That I may know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, being conformed to His death, and to attain to the resurrection of the dead.
Praise God. Let's give God. 6-6. And Singhi, like many of us who are closer to you, we just want to assure you, you look equally beautiful. And I affirm again by my wife this morning, and those who don't agree, they are the blind one. So Singhi, after this operation, do you worry? Are you still worrying?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because my eye pressure sometimes is not that stable, but thank God within the last year it was stable. And they also find out that the tooth in my eye which is upholding the optic lens in my eye, that tooth has shrunk. Yeah.
Mm. Okay. So what do you do now when worry comes into your life?
Usually the three main things that I will remind myself. The first one is to fix my eyes on Jesus. By saying that is through prayer and talk to Him.
Mm.
You know, I scold Him before, but now I don't scold God.
Good.
I'll be very honest and transparent to God because He's my Father. So I will tell Him all my feelings, my worries. And when I have no words to pray, sometimes I will just make sure that I will soak in His presence by just listening to worship songs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very important also to remember His promises for me over in my life. Yeah. And then secondly, is I find that it's very helpful when to recall back His faithfulness in my life over the years, the past. And my life would never be the same because of what I have went through with God. Yeah, because He has shown His love for me in a very tangible manner. But sometimes at that time when I suffered, I couldn't see. But after that, you know, there was once I told God, even for this OKP surgery, before that, I don't even want to talk about it. But after that, one day after the op, I told God that I would never want to forget about this surgery because He really met every needs that I need, my emotional needs, the provision of the cost and everything.
Mm. Yeah.
And then that's also very important to be surrounded by a family of God. Yeah, because I still remember when I was so overwhelmed with the situation, when I was like trying to hide myself and I was lost, and God would just send people to pray for me. You know, people will call me and pray with me together. They give me the words of encouragement and just point me back to God when I was lost. Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing the three things that give you handles as you worry. You talk about fixing your eyes on Jesus and worshipping Him, reminding yourself that there's a God. You talk about recalling God's faithfulness in your life, and also surround yourself. Thirdly, surround yourself with the family of God, body of Christ, as you journey together. I think it was Helen Keller who says, worse than being blind is with sight without vision. You have renewed your sight, regained your sight, and I think you have a heavenly vision. Thank you again for bringing such sharing and encouragement to all of us, that we can learn from your life and from what you have gone through. So church, would you join me to thank Singhi again? Can I ask you to stand and just pray for our sister? By the way, our sister now is in teaching. She's an educator teaching kids with special needs. And we pray that you will continue to be a source of encouragement and a source of hope for every kid that you minister to. Father, I thank you for Singy, for her life, for what she has gone through, for her sharing for all of us. Lord, we thank you that you preserve her. You provide for her and you encourage her. That in the lowest and darkest point in life, she found you because you are always near her. We thank you for your word, your life, your strength, your love for her. That now she can find her identity in you. We thank you for the successful operation through OOKP. And we continue to pray for her that you be the one to reduce the pressure behind the eye. You continue to support the tooth so that it will not become smaller. Lord, we continue to ask of you to heal her. Lord, through this special healing, continue to give her sight, continue to give her strength so that she can continue to testify for you, continue to serve you, continue to be a light wherever you bring her. We pray especially for her mom who have journeyed with her too. The Lord, you open her heart so that she can embrace you as Lord and Savior. Help her to see such a miracle unfolding in the life of her daughter. Bring her closer into the kingdom of God. Bless this family, bless Singy, use her powerfully in the school, and help her to continue to encourage the people under her care. Bless her in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Singy. Church, please be seated. With two more verses, I'll be done. I will end off with this verse from Philippians 4, chapter 4, 4 to 5. Paul said, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand." Nowhere, this is a command from God through Paul. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. I don't see any other command written this way in the Bible. We are told not to kill. But I don't see them written as, don't kill. I tell you again, don't kill. Or, don't steal. I tell you again, don't steal. But yet Paul, inspired by God, penned this word for us. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. It's a command. Let's go out there and rejoice. Let your reasonableness to be known to everyone. Be reasonable. But that's a big topic for another day. Why? Because the Lord is at hand. Another version, the Lord is near. This phrase is taken to mean that Jesus is coming back. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Because Jesus is coming back again. He is the God. He is the Master. He is the Lord that we live for and give our life for. He is coming back. Hence, we have reason to rejoice. Make up your mind at the start of the day that nothing is going to steal your joy. Your joy. Mother Teresa says, joy is strength. Joy is strength. Let me read for you the closing passage. A few verses. Listen to what Paul has to say in Philippians chapter 3, verse 11 to 14. Verse 12, he says, "Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal. But I press on to hold on for which Jesus Christ took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, forgetting the past, set aside circumstances that rob your joy. Set aside people that rob your joy. Set aside things. Things that you have. Things that you think will bring you joy. Set that aside. Set aside worry. And strain towards what is ahead. By having a single mind. By having a submissive mind. By having a spiritual mind. By having a secure mind. Paul says, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Rejoice in the Lord always, people. Again, I will say, rejoice. The past is past. The future is bright. Jesus is coming back. We can rejoice. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for speaking to us. We pray that you give us the strength, the guidance, the will to continue to rejoice for you and you alone. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Elder Hock Chai, for this very important message. Church, this is a very important message because the stealers are real. The devil wants to strike all of us down. The devil wants to steal the joy from our lives. And also today, through the sermon, God has unpacked for us the reality of all these stealers. And so I want to encourage us today, don't run away from the Lord. Come back to the Lord. Surrender all these stealers in your life to God. All right? Whether it is the circumstances in your life, the people in your life, the things in your life, the worry that you are carrying, carry them no more. Scripture tells us, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Why? Because it is an act of our choice. You can decide today that we will silence the stealers. We will not let the stealers continue to create havoc in our life, to steal away our joy. So I want to encourage us today as we bring the service to a close, come to the Lord. If you are disturbed by circumstances, you are disturbed by people, you are disturbed by things, you are disturbed by the worries in your life, come to the Lord. Surrender these things to God. And one of the things that I want you to know is that God will never pass by you. God wants to bless each and every one of us because He's a good God. So church, can we all stand? I'm going to pass the time to Adrian now to lead us in this closing song. I want to encourage all of us, right? When you come to church, it is not an accident. All the word of knowledge and all the prompting in your heart, these are not accident. These are God's way of telling you He's here. So as you worship the Lord, and if you know that you have a need, I want to encourage you, don't leave. Just come. Come to the altar. Come and receive ministry. Come to the Lord. But as we worship, you come.
Praise unbroken.
Come. Come to the Lord.
Praise unending.
If the word of knowledge means something to you, you just come.
Be yours forevermore. Praise untainted. Praise unfading. Be yours forevermore.
Just come, just come.
Be yours forevermore. Unbroken grace, be yours, God, forever. All my praise, be yours, God, forever. Lord, take this life. Let it become your throne, unbroken grace, be yours. My surrender, my devotion, be yours forevermore. Be yours. Be yours forevermore. Unbroken grace, be yours, God, forever. All my praise, be yours, God, forever.
This is our prayer. Take our lives, Lord, and make our lives your throne for your glory. Lord, we pray today that may your word become a reality in all our lives. The Lord, that you will help us to have a single mind, to have a submissive mind, to have a spiritual mind, to have a secure mind. So the Lord, that we may live out this life of joy. Joy in the Lord. And may our lives bring you glory. For we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.